But in the interim, they've got to go through the wilderness. Does that sound like a spiritual journey to anyone here? That's our spiritual journey. And so Moses, if you will, is a representative of Jesus leading the people through. But then all of a sudden, Baldy comes up and says, I've got a headship problem. I want to do the driving here. And two of his generals pop up. Dathan, a fountain, and also Abiram. My father is exalted, if you will. I hear God too. They want to grab the steering wheel from Moses. Verse 2. And they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, men of renown. As I was mulling this model over with my Jesus glasses on, I said, Lord, you know, for a model, your truth is always here. I get it. Korah, who has a headship issue, he wants to do the driving. And I get it that a Dathan and Abiram, fountain of ostensive joy and peace, but not really. And then also Abiram there, I love God too. I get that. That's my own flesh. My flesh wants to wrench the steering wheel away from my Jesus and say, let me do the driving. Then I said, Lord, if that's true in this crazy little model, who are the 250 leaders, men of renown? And I felt the Lord speak to my heart saying, oh, that's all your excuses. Oh, I got busted. You know what excuses are, right? They wear a little name tag and their name is Yeah But. These are all my Yeah Buts. I got 250 and more. And they gathered together, verse 3, against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon yourselves. The rabbis teach this section in something called the Jewish Targum. They say that what this means is, you have ruled too long. Move over, Mo, and give us the steering wheel. For all of the congregation is holy, every one of them. Does that sound familiar? All my excuses in me are going, yeah, we're holy too. And the Lord is among them. Well, that's true. The Lord is among every people, every person. But is everyone truly giving the Lord the steering wheel of their lives? Why then do you exalt yourself above this assembly of the Lord? Right, Exodus chapter 4. Who chose Moses for this job? God did. Did Moses even want it? You better send Aaron. Have you noticed that when you're working on a good case of rebellion, a yeah but, have you ever noticed what you sort of assemble in your own mind to give you license to proceed with your rebellion? Your truth is not really the real truth. You're seeing it through rebellious glasses. And the most bizarre sort of weirdnesses make sense to you. Verse 4. So when Moses heard it, look what he does. He fell on his face. What does this mean? He went to the Lord and he interceded. Moses didn't say, assemble the task force, lop off some heads. How dare you come against me? I've got some retaliation for you. Modeling our Lord, who is it that ever liveth to make intercession for us? Then, verse 5, he spoke to Korah and all of his company. Because Moses is a real feeling human being, I imagine he felt pretty poorly about this. My first cousin is trying to lead a rebellion. I've been the one in the desert for 40 years with God alone. Korah, by inference, he's lived the fine life there in Egypt. He's the man there in Egypt. But God chose me to lead this group. And now this guy comes along, and look, he's got 250 other yabbats all around him. And also, too, the whole congregation. Verse 5, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. We're in control, says the fellow with the headship problem. Moses says, I'm not going to argue that. I'm going to give that to the Lord. Let's him decide Verse 6. So do this. Take some censers, Korah, and all your company, put fire in them, put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the Holy One. You take too much upon yourselves. Now he turns it around on them. When they said, you've ruled too long, there was a sneer to it. There was an assessment of Moses' character, saying something that he was not. When Moses says, you take too much upon yourself, I don't believe it had a sneer to it at all. Likely with great compassion, Korah, do you know what you're doing here? Verse 8. Then Moses said to Korah, is it a small thing that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel? In other words, your leadership already. Do you understand the huge privilege that is and the great responsibility to bring you near to himself? To do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation and to serve them? And that he has brought you near himself. When you're representing God to the people and the people to the Lord, what a privileged and tender position that is. It's not bossing people around. Verse 11. And what is Aaron that you complain against him as well? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, we're not even going to go up there. We're mad at you. So the fountain and God my Father is exalted are thumbing their nose at God's authority. It happens. People who come into a church, a home fellowship, a Bible study of some kind, and they want to basically say, we are a fountain and we have exalted God. Jesus said, you will know them by their what, everybody? By their fruits. And their fruit now is to take the demonstrated anointing of God's leadership, Moses, and say, we can do better. We're not even going to go up. Verse 13. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey? Listen to their heart. Was Egypt truly flowing with milk and honey? What's the answer? No. By the way, how was their life there in the bondage of Egypt? It was terrible. But when you're in rebellion, you have funky selective memory. We had it good in Egypt until you brought us out here. That you should keep acting like a prince over us? Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. We will not come up. Are any of these accusations, first of all, even true? No. You see, that's what people often do who are in rebellion, their own selves. They look at whatever you do and then assess an attitude as to why you did it. And Moses said to Korah, okay, tomorrow you and all of your company be present before the Lord, you and they, as well as Aaron. Let each take his censer, put incense in it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord. 250 of my yabbats, let them put that in their censers as well. Both you and Aaron, and each with his censer. So every man took his censer and put fire in it, laid incense on it, stood at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting with Moses and Aaron. This is amazing to me. Korah, the 250, and Abiram, and Dathan, are literally standing in front of the presence of the Lord with this attitude. Ha ha! God really is on our side. They really thought God would justify their rebellion. The insanity of rebellion. Verse 19. And Korah gathered all the congregation. So who is this? This is basically everybody else. At the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. Verse 20, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation. Let me rephrase that. You better step back, that I may consume them in a moment. Now, who is the them here? Well, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, The 250, yeah, buts. Who else? Everybody else. Now, this would be a perfect time for your flesh to say, I love retribution. All the stuff they said about me on Facebook, all the stuff they're telling everybody, yeah, Lord, smoke them! Yeah! Is there anybody else in the room? Is that just me? The IRS God, woo! Give it to him, God. Moses modeling our Lord. Then they, Moses and Aaron, fell on their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, so one man sin, and you be angry with all the congregation? Now are they calming God down? Easy, big fella, easy! And giving him some insight that perhaps God hadn't have thought about? God was just to take all of the rebellious people, because you can't work with rebellious people, and wipe them all out. He was just and would have been justified in doing so. Moses and Aaron didn't convince God, and God went, well, okay, I would have really liked to smoke them. He simply changes his wrath because of their request and intercession. Keep your Jesus glasses on. This is what Jesus did for me. I was Korah. I was Dathan. I was Abiram. I was all 250 Yabbats, and I was the whole congregation nodding with me. Moses is a freak. He's terrible. Let's get rid of him. Let's vote in somebody better. Verse 24. Speak to the congregation, saying, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then Moses rose, went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, okay, everybody, depart, all you people, from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs. Why? Lest you be consumed in all of their sins. This is a very powerful word. And it still applies to the church today. If someone in the church is in active rebellion, has gone through the steps of proper biblical church discipline, they are put out of the church. Why is that? So that we can pray for them. It's the current church kumbaya sloppy agape that says, well, I'll just keep in touch with them. How you doing? If you're going to keep in touch with them, you have to say this repeatedly. Stop sinning. Stop the rebellion. Come back and be restored to fellowship. No, they'll say, digging in their heels. I've got a case. Are we to continue to fellowship with them? The Bible tells us in Titus, we are to reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. Why? I'll paraphrase. They're wrecking their lives. And if you keep connecting with them, it will get on you too. We're the church who often says, well, we're going to keep a nice Facebook account and all this stuff. May God lead you. May God direct you. But by and large, if you continue to be connected to an unrepentant, rebellious person who has rejected God's correction, you're going to get some of that on you. Skip to verse 31. Now it came to pass as he finished speaking all these words that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households, and all the men of Korah with their goods. Verse 33. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. It's a picture of hell, everybody. The earth closed over them. This is a precursor, a model to Revelation, when the wicked people are saying, I will not repent. Rocks fall on us. Verse 34. Then all of Israel who were around them fled at their cry. For they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. What about the 250 abbots? Watch this. Verse 35, and then fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men. Everybody's getting away from the pit, and they're running. And I wonder if God went, zap, 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 zap. The pit opens up. Korah is silenced. The 250 Yabbats are selectively, surgically removed from the crowd. What do you think that the congregation said after all that? You the man, Moses! Watch this. Verse 41. And on the next day, what's the next word, you guys? All the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, you killed these guys. Okay, let me get this straight, Stephen. Your model, the guy who has a headship problem, has wrestled the steering wheel away from God. He's buttressed by his two generals. I'm a fountain, and God is my father too. And then my 250 Yabbats, and they're all taken away. What is represented potentially by the whole congregation? That's every other Christian who believes that Korah was a good guy. God is saying, I can't use them either. And so many of the people being raised in the seeker-friendly Laodicean church of the very last days are getting spoon-fed. It's sloppy agape, you guys. It's how you feel, not what God's word says. Complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, you killed these guys. Verse 42. Now it happened when the congregation gathered against Moses and Aaron. Here's the punchline of our time this morning. That they turned toward the tabernacle of meeting. Moses and Aaron. The crowd is growing. Maybe they picked up clubs and pitchforks. I don't know. You killed our guys. We love the Yabbats. And suddenly a cloud covered it. And the glory of the Lord appeared. And then Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of meeting. And the Lord spoke to Moses again. You better get away from this congregation. Move aside, Moses, that I may consume them in a moment. Now watch. And they fell on their faces again. So Moses said to Aaron, take the censer. Put a fire in it from the altar. Put incense into it. That's a model of prayer. And quick, take it to the congregation. Make the anointing, the atonement for them. For the wrath has gone out from the Lord and the plague has begun. Grumble, 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 says the crowd. Whoosh! Where's Aaron going in such a hurry? Whoosh! He comes back. Where's he going? They had no idea. They were making intercession for them. They were this close to dying. Can you see the peril that these people are in? Yeah. Do they see the peril that they're in? And that's the thing with intercessory prayer. Why pray for those who spitefully use you? They have no idea how close they are to destruction. Destroying their lives, their families. And God says, I need someone who will race to the intercessory altar and pray for them. Verse 47, then Aaron took it as Moses commanded. Look at that. He ran into the midst of the assembly. That's what God has called harvest family fellowship to do. To run into the midst of situations and problems and challenges, not to retaliate, but to intercede. And already the plague had begun among the people, so he put in the incense and made an atonement for the people. Verse 48, and he stood between death and life. What a picture. Let's all stand together. And now, Lord, let us put this on for ourselves. Who is Korah? That's me. when I have a headship problem and I keep wrestling the steering wheel away from you, Lord, and I got my two generals right by me saying, you're doing good. We know that you love God. Yes, you do. And then I got all 250 of my yabbits. You keep getting that steering wheel. You do the driving. I know what God's word says, but don't do that. Yeah, but. And not only that, you're going to have a whole group of people around you who go to churches of all kinds who haven't learned this, and they're going to be nodding their head in hearty agreement. There will be plenty of voices saying, it's what you feel. Whereas God's word says, it's what I've said. Lord, when I am tempted to want to retaliate, may I remember the picture of Moses, who is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. I deserve to have the earth open and swallow me whole with all of my yabbits. But God, when you could have said, yeah, get them, instead, you zipped up a human suit and came to this planet and died on a cross. And boys, you 12, if you're going to follow me, you'd better look like me. I don't retaliate until judgment day. Until that day, I give everybody every opportunity to find my grace, to find my salvation. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, how can you tell? You've clucked your tongue several times at many of the things I have suggested this morning. You need to decide, are you going to be letting Jesus do the driving, or are you going to do the driving? Christians praying. If you don't know if you're saved this morning, and you don't want to get swallowed up, now would be a great time to say, Lord Jesus, I give you the steering wheel of my life. I need your salvation. I want and love to retaliate. What I need is to be an intercessor. Forgive me of all my sin. Thank you for your death on the cross. And now, please, Lord, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? I don't want to go down to the pit. I want to live forever with you. Everybody's head down, everybody's eyes closed. If that was you this morning, I want you to share that with me. I want you to lift your hand up and say, that was me, Pastor Steve. I gave my heart to the Lord today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, see these hands and hear these hearts. And like Jesus is saying to his disciples, Lord, you're saying to us, if you're going to follow me, you got to look like me. Stop retaliating and begin intercessing. And if that's you, and you got busted a little bit today, you raise your hand. Lord, all of these hands this morning, help us to give you the steering wheel of our life. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.